All right, welcome to episode number 47 of the Dan Time Podcast. I'm your host, Dan McArdle. DanTimePod@gmail.com. Same handle on the socials. I appreciate you rating the show. As you know, the guests on this show span the vast Daniverse. So I don't stop at just Dan. And today, such a special episode featuring Nashville-based songstress Danielle Cosby. Her new single, entitled You, comes out in less than 2 weeks on Friday, July 12th. Follow Danielle Cosby Music on Facebook and Danielle.songstress on Instagram and YouTube. Danielle's ambition in this industry led her to take on leadership roles in production at a young age in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where she proved herself in a male-dominated field. But this time period was also marked by trauma and at times turmoil, and she knew a change was needed not just for her creative energy, but perhaps to save her life. Danielle picked up and moved to Nashville 4 years ago in the middle of a pandemic. Read her inspiring story on NashvilleVoyager.com. We talk about her debut album from 2019, Detour. Danielle said that she wrote Detour while she was still in an abusive relationship. Now, Danielle is also an operations specialist for Downtown Band Entertainment in Nashville, and she works part-time as a personal assistant and studio manager for Nick Wheeler, the lead guitarist for All American Rejects. In April of this year, Danielle released the single Chameleon, and it marks a departure from her earlier sound on the Songstress series. She told the Stratton set list in 2022, "I'm ready for something lighter and more fun." And boy, did she accomplish that, bringing in talented producer Nick Bullock, a horn section, seasoned Nashville musicians, and an overall richer sound where her voice takes flight. In the opening guitar notes, you hear the vintage sound of fingers moving along the fretboard, and then an airy liftoff taking you back to a funkier sound, maybe a bygone era, combining modern pop sensibilities with Motown and funk elements. And you hear the confidence and conviction in Danielle's lyrics. And get ready for more singles and a new LP from Danielle Cosby later this year as she re-enters the studio in August, again with producer Nick Bullock. The video of this episode is available on the Dan Time Pod YouTube channel. Okay, let's get to the conversation now. It is Danielle Cosby time. Y'all, I am, I just said y'all. That might be the first time that I said y'all on this podcast because I've...
How fitting that I'm from Nashville, so.
Yeah.
I say, you'll hear me say y'all a lot, I'm sure.
If you're just joining the show, I always like new people coming to the podcast. If it's somebody you've been following and you just heard about it, you're like, oh, cool, I'll check it out. Thanks for listening, for watching this project of mine. Don't tell me how I got started or don't ask me how, you know, why is it Dan time? And you just talk to people with the family of names, the Danielle, Daniel, Dana, Danny, it just goes on and on. I was actually thinking this week about, man, if somebody listening to the show, if your name is Joe, man, you're sitting on a gold mine. You really need to consider Joe time because you've got J-O, Joanne, Joe, Joseph, Josephine. Yeah. But anyway, so I wanted to do an interview show and I like talking to people, always have, asking them about their backgrounds and experiences. And I'm like, how do I get this thing off the ground? Like, I'm not attached to any media backing. And I thought, well, that's a different approach, but I think it comes across to some people who see it as, oh, okay, this guy is just kind of full of himself, like it's Dan time. And but honestly, the show is never about me. The focus is always on the guest, and I want to bring people to you, put them in front of you, who I think you should know about. And so today, I'm really happy. We've been talking for a few weeks here and got the date lined up. Danielle Cosby, singer-songwriter based in Nashville, Tennessee, originally from Grand Rapids, Michigan. She's pursuing her dreams. She's evolving. I also like to use that phrase, you know, even though it's Dan time, and whether that's a Dan or Danielle, this is not an any old Dan or any old Danielle type of, I won't have a guest on here just because. I really like Danielle's biography and her musical journey. A lot of growth here, and hopefully this is inspiring to people. Danielle, I have to step aside. I got to get myself out of the way because I always do these intros for 17 minutes before I say, hey, thanks. Well, thanks for being here. But thanks for being here, Danielle. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful day. We are in the midst of Nashville summer, which is 100 degrees every day. It's pretty miserable, but it's also beautiful. And yeah, just making my way through a Friday in Nashville, Tennessee.
I love the Music City. I've always had reasons to go there, going back 10 or 15 years. Had a cousin that lived there. I've had friends live there. I've gone up there for tournaments, you know, SEC basketball. I remember going to some basketball tournaments there, things like that, or concerts. I love Nashville. And I always like talking to someone who I've had another guest on the show that's not originally from Nashville, but you're one of those creatives, performers and writers and singers. And how did you decide that, look, if I want to do this, maybe Nashville's the place for me? I know it was like about 4 years ago. We'll talk a little bit about your early background, but like, tell me about that crossroads where you're like, you're in Grand Rapids. You've actually done a lot. You've got a lot in your portfolio and you're thinking this is the time.
Totally. Yeah. I wanted to move to Nashville since the first time I ever visited, which I think was 2014 maybe. And it felt like the first time I was ever here, I was like, oh yeah, this is where I need to be. It just felt right. And so I spent years just kind of dreaming about it. And then COVID happened, and in 2020, all my gigs went away, all my work went away. My life was kind of, you know, up in a big question mark. And so I kind of thought to myself, like, well, I could be quarantined in Grand Rapids or I could be quarantined in Nashville. And in a way, COVID actually gave me that opportunity to pick my life up and move it. Whereas before, it was just, I was too busy and there were just a million other excuses. But yeah, so I bit the bullet and I did the thing in the middle of a pandemic. I was a little bit crazy. I moved with my best friend. She was also a little bit crazy and was like, yeah, let's do it. Why not? Let's try it. And it worked out, thankfully. It all worked well in my favor. But yeah, I'd gotten to a point where I felt like I kind of climbed to the top of the ladder in Grand Rapids. I did pretty much all the things that I could do there on my own, and was kind of feeling burnt out and, you know, hitting the glass ceiling. So I really needed a fresh start in a new city, regardless of where it was. I think even if it wasn't Nashville, I needed to get out of Grand Rapids, which is something I think everyone should do at least once in their lives. Just move away from your hometown and experience what's happening outside of your little boundary that you've never known anything outside of. So yeah, I'm really grateful that it all worked well for me. I love it here. And yeah, things are going really well.
Well, I think that took some courage back then. Like you said, not only is it a big life change, but the pandemic's been going on for a few months. I think this is like the summer of 2020.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually had originally planned to spend a month in Nashville before we knew about COVID and what was going to be happening with COVID. So I had an Airbnb booked for the month of April in Nashville just by myself. I was planning to come and scope it out and, you know, try to get a feel for the city. And then when everything hit, I had to cancel, or that Airbnb just got canceled. Everything got canceled. But I was like, you know what? I really just regardless, I want to get away from Grand Rapids. So I was able to rebook an Airbnb in May of 2020 for like half the price because obviously these Airbnbs were like, we need someone to come give us money. So I got like a super cheap rental in downtown Nashville in the month for the month of May in 2020. Came here, just spent a month by myself, which was like really therapeutic in a lot of ways and really good for me. And then while I was here, I started looking at housing options and serendipitously met the who ended up being my landlord. He owned a little boutique in one of the suburbs of Nashville, and I went into her store one day and started talking with her and told her that I wanted to move here. And she was like, "You're gonna think I'm crazy, but my husband and I just bought this house and we're gonna be renting it out. It hasn't even been put on the market yet. Here's the address. Drive by. If you like it, let me know and it's yours." And so I got back in my car. I called my best friend. I was like, "I think I found where we're gonna live." And I met our landlord. And she's like, "What is going on?" And sure enough, it was like the cutest little house. And Jacqueline, my friend, and I came back the next month and got to see the inside of it, toured the inside, met our landlords, and it was just like so meant to be. Signed a lease and moved in July, officially in July of 2020. So it was a whirlwind, but it was all just like so meant to be and lined up so perfectly.
I love it. And during this time, so you get to Nashville, you start writing some music, or maybe you've had some ideas, but was it in Grand Rapids where you wrote, recorded, and released your first LP Detour?
So I released Detour in May of 2019, so kind of just before everything hit the fan. So I didn't even really get much of an opportunity to do anything with my album or my original music in Grand Rapids before the pandemic hit. So it's kind of a weird time. But yeah, so I released that one in 2019, and then shortly after I moved to Nashville, I released a few singles that I recorded here.
Yeah, the Songstress series, Better People, Bottle Up You, and Growing, which I noticed, Danielle, on your website, if people go to daniellecosby.com, you still have the clothing line with some of these some of that artwork. Is that
I
still
do.
available?
It is, yeah.
T-shirts, tote bags. Maybe it's okay to, even in the summertime, to stock up on your long sleeves, your hoodies, and crew neck
Yeah,
sweatshirts.
totally.
I do think that's cool that when an artist makes available, and also digital downloads, but makes available like a merch section.
Yeah. And I created the artwork for all the Songstress series releases, and I actually was selling art prints of those three designs to kind of help fund the recording efforts. And so I was sending out art prints and, little handwritten cards and stuff, and then eventually graduated to more of the merch section on the website.
Well, that's really cool. Again, I would order something like that or encourage my listeners, because likely in your town, you'll be the only one. And then it starts up a conversation. Who is that or what is that? And hey, I'm a big fan of wearing shirts or carrying around something with an emblem on it that you don't know 100% Danielle Cosby's catalog, but you like the design and you're getting started on it. So yeah, I think that's really cool.
Thanks.
So before we get to the new single, Chameleon, which I've been spinning around like over and over again, I really like this song, but I think it's important, like
Thank
go
you.
back to, and not take a lot of time talking about this, but the Detour album, Danielle, this is some pretty heavy stuff. Like it's, you can tell where it's like biographical. Sometimes it's directed towards a former partner, and like there's like some songs like This Position. I love Pitch Ain't Perfect. That might be my favorite song on there. Yeah, I think like Pitch Ain't Perfect is, if someone has creative energy and they want to put something out there. I think that's reassuring to them. The lyrics are, and yeah, talk about maybe some songs that still, I know you've kind of moved on to a different, or your sound has evolved, but do you have some tracks from that record that are still pretty near and dear to you?
For sure. I mean, everything I write, I think will always be near and dear to me. It ebbs and flows and comes in seasons, I'd say, when I, like, there are some times, or there have been some times where I can't even listen to Detour. It's just, it either is like hitting too close to home, or it's just bringing stuff up that I am not ready to revisit. 'Cause it's such a, you know, you're really wearing your heart on your sleeve as a songwriter. And I did not hold back. I mean, I never hold back in my songwriting, but yeah. So I would say in this current season of my life, I have so much appreciation and love for the whole Detour album. The songs that I think I still go back to and have carried over into kind of this new genre that I'm kind of putting myself in are I Can't Tell You is one that kind of fits into this new vibe that I've got going on. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love,
and obviously Detour.
I love
well.
The groove of that song, I Can't Tell You.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so when I did my my release party for Chameleon, the songs that I played off of Detour were Detour, I Can't Tell You, and Pitch Ain't Perfect.
I pulled it up here. I think this is from your Bandcamp page, but going back to Pitch Ain't Perfect, because this is really stands out. I just love this. Like, people, I think sometimes are afraid to just hit start, press play, put something out there. And I get it. It's like, it's very easy to be self-critical, especially if you've got something that you like to work on, or an instrument that you like to play, or you like to write poetry, but you don't want anybody to see it. You don't want anybody to hear it. But where you say, I think this is the chorus, I can paint all the pictures, I can sing all the songs, I can write all the poems, I've been dreaming all along. But when it comes down to it, sometimes my pitch ain't perfect, but I'd rather sing out of tune than to never sing at all. And people, please let me reinforce it. That's me speaking it. That's not how she sings it. She sings it much better than that. So, but that was really cool. And then, yeah, this position is, again, gosh, it's like almost like you had to get those words on paper to put that chapter behind you. I love the song Stop. I mean, that's a really good song too. If you guys go to the YouTube page, you can still see some live performances of these songs.
Yeah, thanks for the shout out.
So let's I always like to jump around a little bit and not stay exactly on the timeline. We'll talk a little bit about the Songstress series, but yeah, let's talk about Chameleon, released in April this year. I guess, what's the reaction been when you play it live? Because you're bringing in, like, is this a 5-piece horn section? You got guitar, bass, drums, and
yeah, when we did it live, it was a 5-piece section. Recorded it with a 3-piece section with a couple of them doing multiple parts. So there's even more than 5 on the recording. I'm so grateful to know and be close with some of the best musicians in the land here in Nashville, and that includes horn players. I've got a ton of close friends that are just incredible horn players and arrangers and writers. So my good friend Jovan wrote the part for all the horn parts for all my new stuff. He wrote and arranged and executed. And yeah, so much fun. I like, the more horns, the better, in my opinion. You can never have too many horns.
And I want to bring out, I think it's the second verse, because this is one of my favorite parts of the song. Where I think we start out complicated. I got too much to say, just to start saying it, fabricated. And then what that part where you really let your vocals flourish, I lived a lie, time to start opening eyes. And it goes on, you know, why do I keep coming back? I've been paving the way, but keep losing track of it. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm feeling like a chameleon. And yeah, but that you guys listening to the show, I'm perfectly fine if you pause this, if you stop this, and you download Chameleon and listen to what I'm talking about here, because you must have, when that came out in the studio, when you were trying out different vocal pitches, or I'm not saying this as well as I could, but that really is a great example, I think, of how your songwriting has evolved and your vocals.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Were you excited when that part came to you?
For sure. Yeah. Anything that's got like something that's like, that you know is going to catch attention of not even just anybody, but what really gets me excited is when I come up with something that I know is going to catch the attention of my musician friends. Like, I want to be cool to my musician friends.
Yeah.
So if I've accomplished that, then all is well. So little moments like that are something that I'm always trying to incorporate and create in my music to keep everybody engaged.
Yeah, it sounds like on Chameleon that you almost, your sound is developing, progressing, and you want to add some additional layers that maybe weren't there before. Mm-hmm. It's looking at some of your influences, Motown, funk, the Doobie Brothers, Hall & Oates. I can actually, the first time I heard this, because my mom's a big fan of some of the artists from the early to mid 70s, cross genres, and I'm like, this sounds like something you might hear if you were walking down City Street, some city center in that time period, you know, playing in the distance or coming out of a club or something. It was like, I think you like achieved this real throwback feel on that song.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I think it has a real like vintage or retro vibe to it, even like the way the instruments are playing and the way that it was produced. I feel like we created this really cool pocket of like vintage pop that's not just your run of the mill and it can sit in a lot of subcategories, which I've been really digging.
Yeah, it's, I think that music and pop music in general for maybe about 3 to 4 years, I don't know exactly how long, but it's not always as fun as it used to be. It sometimes sounds more foreboding than it was in years past. It's kind of like, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but yeah, there's songs that they just don't, they address something that maybe, oh yeah, I connect with that. I went through something like that. That she's singing about something I went through. But when the song ends, you don't really feel any better than you did before the song started. And like this Chameleon is, yeah, it just has so much more flavor to it.
Thank you. I like to think so.
Now, are you always writing new material? Do you kind of have periods where you're like, okay, I'm going to focus on just writing or just performing?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to force myself into a creative space with writing. It really has to come naturally and genuinely. So I try to honor that when I can, like when I'm really feeling the itch, or, you know, if I've got like a melody or a line in my head, I really try to flush it out as soon as possible before I forget about it. Or at least like record the idea and then move on. I have been living in a state of writing quite a bit this year, finishing up more songs and eventually a full album. So I'm definitely in the thick of it with writing currently. It definitely comes in waves for me. So after this, I probably will need a break from writing.
And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last year, if I had this right, you did some collaborations with Jordan Finn.
Yeah, yeah. And Jordan actually is originally from Michigan as well. So he's someone that I knew from back home. And he just moved to Nashville maybe 18 months ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, and is giving it a go as a full-time producer. So we collaborated on a few tunes, and we still try to collaborate whenever we can for sync stuff and any other ideas that come to mind. So yeah, I actually originally knew him as a guitar player, and now he's full-time production and he's killing it. He's doing great. He does a lot of great work.
Yeah. The single As It Was, I think that's December of 22. To me, that one is really catchy. I think it kind of positions you into, like, these are more in the dance genre.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. A couple of them. So we've done a couple covers, like As It Was, the Harry Styles cover. And then the two kind of like techno pop dance club style songs that we did, like, really took off. Never Coming Back and I'm in Love. And those are both super fun. They're like really great summer bops.
Well, Danielle, you brought a background with you to Nashville. You did some stuff in Grand Rapids with the Circle Theater concert series, production work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you look at some of those experiences that prepared you to handle some of these big moments, or how do you feel now about your past work?
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've gone through obviously has helped prepare me for where I'm at now and where I'll be in the future. I'm really grateful for the opportunities that I had in Grand Rapids, and I kind of found myself in a leadership role pretty early on, like fresh out of high school, leading, producing, performing, which obviously came with its own obstacles, being a young female in charge. But now I think that I'm still a young female in charge, but I don't feel the stigma of it anymore. I think I'm over that, or I don't know, maybe Chameleon comes into play. I'm over it. I don't know, but but I think that, you know, all of those experiences helped prepare me to be the leader that I can be today, as far as, you know, management and all that stuff goes. And then kind of same with performing. I mean, I've been performing in a professional capacity since I was a teenager, so I feel like I kind of got a leg up on some people at a similar age as me. I didn't go to college. I mean, I did go to college for 1 year. I went to community college in Grand Rapids, but that was all I did. I didn't go to school for 4 years for music. I was like already doing it professionally. So I just kind of dove into that, and I'm thankful that it worked well for me. And I'm also really grateful that I'm not in any college debt.
Yes. That, I mean, that's a big albatross for so many people, unfortunately, but
right. Yeah.
Now, so if you want to read about Danielle, there's a really good article here from the Stratton set list, Waiting to Exhale. So they really give you a great bio on Danielle here. I understand your family, or your musical journey growing up, it started in a musical family.
Yeah.
Learning piano as a small child. So that was always like part of the picture, right? Like music was being played in the house, in the car, in church.
Definitely. Yes. I grew up in a very musical family. My dad was a trumpet major. My mom was a piano major. My dad was a worship pastor at a church until I was 15 or 16. So I grew up singing in the church and leading the youth group band. And my mom was the piano accompanist for all of the schools that I went to growing up. She actually started at the public school when she was pregnant with me. So through all the choirs that I was in, middle school through high school, my mom was the accompanist. And then my siblings are musical and married into musical families, and there's lots of band teachers and all of that good stuff. So it's really unavoidable in our household, the music.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you didn't stand good a chance. Time. You were going to play an instrument.
I really didn't. I was going through some things from my childhood a while back, and I found something from, I don't know, first or second grade that, you know, they ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my answer was that I wanted to be in the WNBA. Like, even second grade Danielle knew there was no chance. I was not going to grow up to be a basketball player. The only option was music for me.
I think you followed the right path, for sure.
I think so, too.
Danielle, let's talk. I don't always ask singer-songwriters. I wish I would do this more often, but let's talk about the gigs, the performances, getting ready for them. How much fun do you have trying to decide how big of a production are we going to make this? The items that you choose to wear, the way that you try to package that visual Daniel Cosby performance, is that fun? Can it be stressful at times?
Yes and yes. So fun. I mean, there's really nothing that beats it. I think probably any performing singer-songwriter would tell you the same, but that's like the ultimate feeling that we're trying to chase is performing your original music. I'm lucky that I have a lot of experience with production and song selection and flow of set list and things from my other jobs. I'm a full-time performer with a traveling wedding band. So I'm always performing. I'm always on stages, and I also create the products. So I'm fortunate to have an understanding of, you know, like, don't put too many slow songs in a set, like how to keep people's interest in the flow and the keys and how they all like work together. And this would be a good moment to talk a little bit while the band's vamping. And so I'm grateful for my musical background and also just like my knowledge in the industry on how to create an experience that's selfless. There has to be a good balance of being selfish and selfless as an original artist. If it was all one or the other, I don't think it would translate to a crowd. Obviously, your audience wants to feel like they're a part of what's happening. But then as a performer, you really want to feel good about what you're performing. So there's like a very delicate balance, but it's always fun. I love the entire process from the set list to the rehearsing to the outfit, all of it. It's all really enjoyable for me.
And your day-to-day, like, with Downtown Band mm-hmm. Entertainment?
Yeah, so that's my full-time job. The premier luxury wedding corporate event entertainment company. We've got multiple products, all live music. We have a blast. We have a really great team, full-time staff team. And most of the team is also performers as well. So I get to be on staff full time and perform pretty much full time as well. So it's really fun. We travel all over. We're doing like the top tier events that really have the money. So it's a lot of fun. I get to go a lot of places and experience a lot of things that otherwise there's no way I would be in a room with those same people. So, and then on top of that, I get to know and perform with like just the cream of the crop musicians, which is so incredible. And they've really become my family. And a lot of them are on my new music, recording on my new music.
Yeah. And like you said, if you surround yourself with those veterans of the industry, it forces you to keep raising your game to the next level.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Danielle, I almost forgot to mention, you've recorded, is this with your mom, a Christmas song?
Yes. Yeah, we did two Christmas songs this past Christmas time. As I mentioned, my mom is a pianist, and Christmas music is one of my favorite genres of music. It's something I love to sing, and I have just so many memories of my mom and I at the piano around Christmas time, or even just my mom in the background playing Christmas music. Like, even my friends have memories of coming over around Christmas time, and my mom is always practicing in the background. So I really wanted to honor her and get those recordings done. It was such a special thing for us to do together. It was really great.
Well, I know we have a little bit of distance between the next holiday season being June, but I like Christmas music a little bit more now than I did 10 years ago. I don't know. I just really get into it, especially when it gets really close to Christmas Day, those last few days. And Christmas Eve, that's what I've got Christmas carols on the whole night when I'm playing Santa or whatever I'm doing.
Sure.
So I love that.
If anyone needs Christmas in July, then there we go.
Maybe a couple more questions here, Danielle. You've been just spectacular, especially with your undying patience at the beginning of this episode, before we even started. First, again, I just want to reinforce that, and this is for you, the listener, if you're driving and or you're exercising or whatever you're doing, I don't want to say that there's ever anything wrong with somebody's hometown, and sometimes it makes sense to stay there. I do think that if you've made a couple moves, it's not like, okay, let's move to St. Louis, live there a couple years, let's go move to Portland or wherever, San Francisco, and now let's go to Denver. It's like, that works for some people. It's okay to make a couple moves. I mean, some point you want to set down roots. I think that's very important. But if you're in your hometown and you feel like there's something else out there, I would lean into that feeling. That's what I would encourage people. And would you say the same thing? Like if they're just, something's kind of like gnawing at them, like, all right, I've got my friend set here and it's great, but it's kind of, I know what this is always going to look like.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that there are worldviews and cultures and people and cities that will just exponentially expand your mind more than you ever knew was possible. And you're doing yourself a disservice if you're never letting yourself even have the opportunity to expand your mind like that. And I think it saved my life that I left my hometown. I will always love Grand Rapids. I will always have roots there. My family's there. I love Michigan. But there are just so many things that I didn't know that I didn't know, you know? So
yeah.
I think that I preach that to everyone. If you have the opportunity, do it. Like, you will not regret it. You can always go back. Home will always be there for you. But even if you, just a month, you know, go try it out for a month. I promise there's not even a possibility of regretting it.
That's so well spoken. And some people may be listening and they hear that and they think, well, but I'm a little bit, my means are kind of restrict me a little bit. I would always recommend, go travel. Go plan a weekend, something that's drivable. There's probably a town or a bigger city that's drivable for just a weekend. And it could open your eyes and you could, like you said, decide, well, this is not really for me. I'm going to take it back. And that's okay too.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And speaking of Nashville, so I'm sure you've had opportunities to interact with lots of different people. Have you had any like established musicians take an interest in you and say, hey, keep doing what you're doing, like without naming names or anything, but have you gotten some good advice from people that say, hey, stick with that. You're onto something there. You're going to run into some headwinds. Here's what's coming, but just keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I have. I mean, like I mentioned before, working with Downtown Band Entertainment, I work with musicians who are touring with celebrity artists most of the year and pick up gigs with us when they can, when they're home. So I know a lot of people who are really close with some of the bigger name artists. And then I have some other avenues of bigger artists that I have gotten to speak with. And I have gotten some really encouraging notes from people. And I mean, it speaks more than I can even put into words. Obviously, I can't even put it into words right now. But when someone who I respect and admire and in awe of comes to me and tells me that I'm spectacular and keep doing what you're doing, like, that's really what fuels my fire. And yeah, it's really special.
And how about Nashville? Are you a Predators fan? Are you a Titans fan? Have you gotten into any of the sports teams there?
I've been to a Preds game and I have been to a Titans game. Both were very fun. I'm not a sports fanatic by any means, but I will gladly go anytime and pretend to be one, and I'll buy the hat or the jersey and I will lean into it, and it's always a good time. But I will also complain about a Preds game being at Bridgestone on a Saturday night when we are also playing downtown on a Saturday night and it's crazy busy and all the above.
I'm going to do a couple more general questions here. How do you, maybe going back a second time on this topic, but when you run into obstacles and it's just like in the middle of that day, or you run into an obstacle that's like, it's just been really stressful for that month or something, how do you keep a real optimistic mindset? Are you naturally positive? Do you naturally want to find a solution and get through stuff? Or do you have everybody has their days. You have some days you're like, all right, I'm done. I'm just done with today.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of both. I think being a creative, most creatives actually kind of like to live in their sadness, like kind of what actually helps us, yeah. helps our creativity. So it's like, it's a weird like double-edged sword. It's like, obviously you don't want to be sad and depressed, but you kind of do, because it's like, that's where all your creativity comes
from. Kind of artsy.
So it's like, it's hard to explain unless the creatives out there know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm also a 4 on the Enneagram, which if you study the Enneagram, then that also says it perfectly. I do love, obviously, finding a good solution to a problem, but I would say I lean on a team or my partner to kind of help pull some of the weight. If it were all up to me, I would probably just want to be sad all the time.
Do you like some days where it's just the weather's terrible? I know Nashville, it gets freezing cold sometimes. It may be one of the reasons I haven't fully explored living there full time, but what do you do on some of those?
No, it does not get freezing cold. I'm from Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
Where it does get freezing cold. Nashville does not get freezing cold. It will get cold for a couple of days in the winter, but for the most part, it's pretty mild.
Yeah, I had a guest on from Boston, Danielle Morali. I really like her music too, but I've heard about Boston where you, or maybe this was Danny Pike is another, she lives in Chicago, and she was moving from, I think, somewhere in Texas, I want to say, and she did not have the right, she had like a coat, but it wasn't like a Boston winter coat, like,
right.
You have to have certain layers and certain types of jackets and scarves.
You
and
all, do.
Like, we don't have that stuff down here. I've got like one or two jackets, but, but yeah, you get through it. But do you have some times where all you want to do is just put on a movie, cook something that you like to eat, and just sit there and have one of those nights?
Absolutely.
The rain's falling and.
Absolutely, that sounds like the perfect night to me.
How about
the
this?
The ideal scenario.
Are you ever sitting there in you can see the rain out the window, it's just a miserable day, and you're sitting there snacking on something that you maybe shouldn't be snacking on, and you're just like watching a movie, and then you just all of a sudden have this great lyric. Like, do you have moments where you've got, I need to write that down, or I need to put that in?
Yes. Yeah, I would say most of my songs stem from something like that, where it's just out of the blue, or something that like some sort of melody that got stuck in my head that won't leave me alone until I do something with it.
Okay. Last couple questions, I promise, because you've been fantastic. Okay. Talking about movies, I like to ask this question sometimes, and if you don't have an immediate answer, that's okay. But is there a movie that really, really makes you cry? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I love this movie. Someone wants to watch it, or I see it on TV, and I'm like, I don't know if I need to do this to myself again. But do you have a movie that really, it's just waterfalls?
Man, I'm sure that there are actually so many of them. I cry pretty easily in movies. So probably most movies I would cry in. My Girl, an old movie,
yeah.
But that one always, always makes me cry. A Walk to Remember, a good cry movie. There are sometimes when you're like, I really need to cry tonight. What should I watch? It would be like A Walk to Remember. That'd probably be the one for me.
Okay. And then is there an artist that you listen to that really has nothing to do with your sound and like you just really like this band or this songwriter and it's like nobody would expect that you would like them?
I know. Definitely. I mean, I like music across all genres and I actively listen to music across all genres. I don't know. That's a tricky question because I don't know what would be unexpected for at least for the people that know me, because they just would know that I listen to a little bit of everything and enjoy everything. But I mean, I can go from, I'm all over the board. Like a playlist could go from like 90s punk rock to, you know, country to jazz to indie folk, all in the snap of a finger. I'm all over the board.
I hear stuff come on again. I wasn't like so into this at the time because I was 20 something in the early 2000s. So like that song by Lit, I can't think of the name of it. They were like, it was one
worst
hit.
Enemy?
Yeah. I think that's it.
My Own Worst Enemy.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It comes on like Pandora sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I love that song.
Yes.
Like some periods of time, whether it's the 70s or the 90s, like they're very easy to romanticize here in 2024. And so whatever music is from there, it's like, I don't know, it has a different feel to it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I could keep going a lot more nonsense and little silly questions like that. But Danielle, is there anything that you would like to promote? I mentioned the website earlier, and this will be in the show notes, daniellecosby.com. But anything else you'd like to talk about that we didn't cover?
I've got a new song coming out July 12th called You. And there is, I believe that there is a live version of it on YouTube. So you can familiarize yourself with it before it comes out on the 12th. So excited about that. I'll be releasing new music throughout the rest of the year. And then I go back into the studio in August to kind of round out an album. So really excited about all the new music that's coming. So be on the lookout. There should be new drops every few months for a while.
Great stuff. Yeah, folks, go to the website or you can find Danielle on Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube. Again, be sure to visit the shop section on her website. Find something of interest to you. And man, I don't have a stopping point, but I think I've kept you too long. I'm like, oh my gosh, we gotta wrap this up.
Problem.
Thanks.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
This has been great. And I haven't done this in a while. I usually, Danielle, some of the older episodes, I'd say like, okay, now remember, and then I don't really know what I'm going to say, but I think this is a good episode to do it. So we've already talked about this, but folks, remember, if you've got an idea or if you like to write, if you just like to write, whether it's creative writing, poetry, songwriting, put it on paper, show it to somebody that you care about, get their opinion, even if they say, hey, look, that needs a lot of work. You know, you're doing a good job. That needs a lot of work, man. That's okay. But if you have something you like to do, just do it. Get it out of your head. Get it out of your heart. And sometimes, I think you might sign on to this, Danielle. Don't know if we talk about journaling enough in today's society. It's all kind of about promoting the best versions of ourselves. It's okay to keep a journal and write down your thoughts, even if they're not for the world to see. So
for
yeah, sure. I would say that, and to follow your dreams.
Yeah, definitely. I second that.
Okay. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. We'll see you next Sunday on the Dan Time Podcast. And Danielle Cosby, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Been fun.